In the more general sense, the U.S. has seen an amping up of activism, social movements, and protests over the past year, owed in part to strong reactions to statements and tweets by President Trump. And social media has played a significant role in attracting more people to protest, both for and against the issue in question. How effective are social movements in this rapidly evolving age of social media in leading to true change? With me to talk about that is Jennifer Earle, professor of sociology at the University of Arizona. Professor, how much have you seen as far as the impact of social media on not only how many people show up for a protest, but even the types of people showing up?
There is evidence that online media helped to recruit people to turn out to events. Partly that happens through online media being used in the regular pathways that people are recruited through. So, for instance, there's a lot of research showing that even if you were looking at protest pre-internet, people get recruited through their friends' family, through existing organizations that they're members of, through their friendship networks. And there's some good evidence to suggest that online media get used to sort of infuse those same relationships so that family members send political things to other family members, you get things from organizations. So there are more ways or more sort of channels for those relationships to reach people with recruitment calls, and so there's good evidence that this is helping to turn people out. But it's also helping to turn people who aren't connected to organizations out. I think one of the important things that some recent research looking at who shows up at protest events has shown is that there's an increasing number of people who show up to events who aren't affiliated with organizations when they get there. And those people, by and large, have found out about those events through online media, social media. And so this is, in some ways, changing the nature of who shows up to events because you get more people who are not already densely connected to protest movements or social movements who aren't necessarily connected to those organizations, but who have genuine interests in the cause that's being represented.
Can that both thin out the effectiveness of a movement and also strengthen it? Because maybe those people who didn't know much about it may decide, all right, I would like to dedicate myself to this.
I don't think that this is an interesting point of debate. I think that you would find some people who think that it does weaken movements to have people who are in, I think, the way that people who would argue that it weakens movements would position this as people who are less committed. But my own take would be that it actually strengthens movements. So I think the position that it's not helpful for movements would say that people who aren't connected to organizations, aren't steeped in some sort of connection to movements, long-term participation in movements, are maybe using online media to engage pretty ephemerally, pretty quickly, pretty easily through things like online petitions. Maybe they get interested, they come out to a single event. I think actually that is a really half-glass empty kind of way of thinking about this, because what we really know as social movement scholars, probably the most fundamental thing I could tell you, is that unfortunately most people, even when they care about something, don't do anything. And so when we imagine that the default position is action, and then the question is, what kind of action are they going to take? That's not actually empirically true. The default action, by and large, is going to be, I'm not going to do anything, even though I care about this or I believe in this. When you can give people more entry points for engagement, you can meet people where they're at and have more people overall involved in a cause.
Does a real social movement that has some effectiveness have to make people a little bit uncomfortable?
You know, I'm not sure that there's research that suggests that discomfort necessarily is an important component, but we could say that historically there are lots of movements and protests that in retrospect seem 20, 30, 50 years later are sort of retold in heroic proportions that at the time were very unpopular. And certainly, you know, there's a direct parallel to this with civil rights now and in the 50s and 60s. I mean, the kinds of protests that were happening in the 50s and 60s and civil rights were not popular amongst whites. Not many people now would say that the students who sat in at the lunch counters, or that Martin Luther King or that Rosa Parks aren't heroes. That's the sort of, you know, people expect to valorize and treat as heroic those actions now, which at the time would have been treated by far more disdain from a much larger percent of the white population.
Do you see other trends that indicate to you we're going to see even more rapid change, and what kind of change over the next decade or so?
Looking into the future is always a tough call. I would say that I would pose some questions, really, about how movements handle the current political environment and how democratic institutions handle the current political environment that'll probably be decisive in shaping what an American political future looks like. One of those things is not limited to protest movements, but is sort of broadly about democratic culture right now. We are at an incredibly polarized moment in American culture, American political culture, and a polarized moment in which things that used to be the common touchstones that people who disagreed could come back to, like science, data, investigative journalism, reporting, that those things that used to serve as common denominators in conversations are under attack right now. That really changes the dynamics of polarization, because if I, as a reader of a newspaper or a reader of online material, start with the assumption that only things that I agree with are true, it's going to be very hard for me to have a conversation with someone who takes a different point of view, because there isn't really going to be evidence or something that we could both agree on has merit that could change the other person's view.
Jennifer Earle is a professor of sociology at the University of Arizona.